Sam Phillips was born 100 years ago today. He was a record producer, the founder of Sun Records in Memphis. He made the early recordings of some of the most unmistakable voices in 20th century music, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, and Roy Orbison, among others. Phillips appeared on this program in 1993 and was interviewed by a man with his own unmistakable voice, longtime Morning Edition host Bob Edwards.
Late in the summer of 1953, Elvis Presley walked into a tiny storefront recording studio in Memphis, Tennessee, and without realizing it, made history. Over the next several months, he revisited 706 Union Avenue, and, well, most of us know the rest. Sam Phillips had grown up in Florence, Alabama, and moved to Memphis by way of Nashville in 1945. He worked as an announcer for a local radio station and eventually saved enough money to get into the recording business.
Train I ride, 16 coaches long.
Sun began as a blues label, giving black musicians a place to record without traveling north to Chicago. Junior Parker, B.B. King, Howlin' Wolf, and Ike Turner were just some of the people recording with Sam Phillips.
Well, that long black train carried my baby home.
People at that time, and no disrespect for any human being on this earth, but people didn't look upon this as real artistry. So I just felt that knowing that these people, just based on the hardships and things that I had been through as a child coming through the 1930s depression, and I knew my life wasn't nearly as bad as theirs, and these people had something to say, something real, and I kind of liked that.
In addition to the B.B. Kings, recording them, you had a, I guess we would call it today, a vanity record business, where you go in and record yourself for a minimum fee.
We had to do a number of different things in order to keep the wolf away from the door, so to speak, until we could give the other ideas we had a reasonable chance.
Sam Phillips charged $1.99 per side to anyone who wanted to make a personal record. In 1953, Elvis Presley was driving a truck for the Crown Electric Company for $1.25 an hour. The first meeting between Presley and Phillips is the subject of some dispute. In an interview given before her death, Marion Keisker, Phillips' secretary, said her boss was not in the shop during Elvis's first visit. But Phillips remembers that day differently and says he'd even noticed the young truck driver before meeting him face to face.
You could see all the way from the back, the little control room that we had, through the little studio out the storefront windows. And I noticed Crown Electric truck going by there from time to time. Seems like they had an awful lot of business in that neighborhood, and I knew it was a very small company. But anyway, all of a sudden, Marion brought Elvis back there and said, this young man would like to make a personal record for his mother's birthday. And it just so happened, I said, well, that sounds nice. Why don't we just do that? You know, it's one of those things I could have said, no, I can't do it right now. I'm in the midst of this, that, or the other. But it so happened that Elvis made his mother's record for
her. Evening shadows make me blue. When each weary day through, how I long to be with you.
Phillips realized he had found something special in the nervous 18-year-old. He kept his excitement to himself. He simply wrote down Presley's name and asked him for a telephone number. Months passed before Phillips invited Elvis back to the Sun Record Company.
I was going to the maximum security prison in Nashville, Tennessee, to record the prison airs. They were all long-term prisoners. And I told Elvis that I heard that there was a couple of writers in there, one of them white and one of them black, that I wanted to check into. If I found some material, that I would give him a call back. Of course, he was enthusiastic because, you know, Lord, somebody's paying some attention to me. Maybe I get a chance to make a record, hear myself on the radio like anybody would. But anyway, it boiled down basically to this. We put him with Scotty Moore. Scotty was in a country band that we were kind of playing around with at that time. And Bill Black played bass for him. So I kind of put Bill and Scotty together with Elvis, and I mean, the chemistry was right.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right.
The first thing that we had was That's All Right, Mama. Arthur Big Boy Crudup had it out a number of years before that. On the other side, we took the old classic Blue Moon of Kentucky by Bill Monroe and did that. And Paul Ackerman was music editor for Billboard for a number of years. And when they got this record in, he said, Sam, you either had to be a genius or you're the dumbest person that ever got into business. Here you are with a classic country thing, bluegrass at that, one side, and got a white boy singing, Big Boy Crudup on the other. I said, well, man, I assure you I'm no genius, so maybe we got lucky.
It's all right now, Mama, anyway do.
You have to keep in mind that this guy could sing anything from Nero, My God, to Thee, the old rugged cross. I mean, you name it and go on up or down the ladder.
Were you conscious of creating a new kind of music?
I wasn't conscious of creating a new kind of music. I think I was conscious of letting out the insides, emotional insides of people. And that was the challenge to a great extent. Oh, man, I loved the music. I loved it. I dearly loved it. So this was a beautiful experience. It still is to see the influence that it's had around the world.
Well, I say Blue Moon of Kentucky, just to keep on shining.
Bob Edwards' 1993 conversation with Sam Phillips, born on this day 100 years ago. Phillips died in 2003.